Another edition of We Talk Comics. I am the Senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders. And I want to welcome the three co-hosts with me tonight. The Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo.
Hi, Bernie. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. No problem. The Chief Defender of the Faith, Brett.
It's amazing that we get such highfalutin guests.
And the last man has no nickname. His name is Chris.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Bernie Sanders show up.
And he's right here. Crazy Bernie Sanders. That's what Donald Trump called me. But I like to think of myself as Get Things Done Sanders. And that's because this is episode 169 of We Talk Comics Debate Night. And we're talking politics, and why not? The American election is just a few days away. I'm still thinking that Hillary might drop out, and I might get in.
Bernie, why did you call it the American election?
Well, because I know you guys are Canadian.
Oh, all right.
Lucky bastards, I might move there too if something goes wrong with number 8. But anyways, we're talking to politics, but we got some guidelines for the show. Brett, I'm going to drop off here because really, honestly, I'm on my cell phone. I forgot to charge it. And apparently, you guys are on Skype, and I don't really know how to use Skype. But good luck to you guys.
Well, gee, thanks, Bernie. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that he endorsed us.
Wow. Apparently, Bernie has killed the show when he tried to leave.
Yeah, I'm actually just spending a little bit of time thinking, have I ever heard Bernie Sanders speak before?
if you had, you'll find he sounds exactly like that.
Really? I always pictured more of a grandfatherly thing going on.
Nope, not at all. I mean, no, not at all. So anyways, Brett.
So clever. All right, so...
Maybe that was Hillary Clinton with the grandfather thing going on.
Yeah, I think
Hillary
she's
Clinton
got a grandfatherly
with a glandular
thing.
Problem.
I think she has a grandfatherly thing going on. I think you're right. Yes. Yeah, so Bernie Sanders, you know, he sounds pretty much exactly like, I am not a crook. You know, it's pretty much the same voice.
That's actually what I thought you were doing for a moment there, you know.
That's just because you haven't heard Bernie Sanders. But he was on our show, so now you know what he sounds like.
That's right. All right. Well, we're not here to talk about the U.S. political game. There's too much to talk about, and we are simply Canadians. So we are here to talk about...
So if we did talk about it, we'd be really nice.
Yes, that's right. But we are here to talk really nicely about politics and comics. And so by that token, we've decided to break it down a few days.
Hey, Brett, tell me, before we do, now that you're talking, I just want to break in quickly for something you might have heard me say before. Chris, mute your freaking mic.
Sorry, I was looking something up.
Bernie Sanders' voice?
All right, Brett. Give us the guy one round. Now let's actually do this. Give us the guidelines for the show.
All right. So we were going to look at the difference between politics in the Marvel and DC universes because they are very different. We were going to look at the change in the political tones between like the 70s and now and the different eras and how they're kind of shown in comic books and how much different it is now. And then finally, the differences between a comic in a political setting and a comic book that is making a political statement, because those are definitely very different. And I think that a lot of the comics, because when the comics were brought up to talk about, you know, I think that a lot of them wound up, You know, we were kind of trying to think of examples, and I think a lot of those wound up being more political statements as opposed to actually books in a political realm.
That said, we did sample a few books. Prez, the original Volume 1, and the new series, the first, an issue from each of those. Citizen Jack, Checkmate, I mean, we could talk a little bit about that because I think we've all read it. I don't know that it was actually officially on the list. And I'm missing one.
Captain America, number 250.
Oh, yes, yes. How could I forget that?
Which is really, you know, to me, it's almost the crux of the whole episode, you know, because it really helped me kind of put this episode into my head and really get to where I think that, you know, we needed to be for it.
And you mentioned to me, you know, in a quick aside, that the backstory to that issue of Captain America running for president, that almost gave you more, I don't know, more insight than the actual book itself.
Yeah, because there's in the letters to the living legend, there's the Captain America for president, the story behind the story, where Roger Stern kind of breaks down like how it happened. And I think that, you know, when you look at it like that, you know, so what the basic story is that Roger McKenzie and Don Perlin pitched Captain America running for president to Roger Stern when he was an editor. But, you know, Roger Stern was like, okay, well, like, you know, he said, sounds interesting, but won't it be a bit of a downer when he loses? And then there's like, that's just it. He doesn't lose. He wins. And we have the next 4 years worth of stories set in and around Washington, D.C. And I mean, you know, for us, that would be terrible because, Mo, you brought up the point of that being like 40 years of Marvel Comics.
Yeah. I knew it. Like, Spider-Man, in his first 30 years, aged like 5 years. So, you know, I was like, so are we going to be actually in there for decades? If it's only going to be 4 years, is that, like, continuity-wise, is that like 6 weeks? Like, you know, like that was one of the major problems. I could think of a few others.
Yeah, I mean, and so, as he said, you can't do that. That's too much of a distortion of reality. I don't know who's going to win the election, but I know that it won't be Captain America. You're asking the readers to suspend their disbelief beyond the usual bounds of comics, or the usual bounds of Marvel Comics anyway.
Which kind of brings back that us to that, where you say it's very different between Marvel and DC. It kind of brings back to that a little bit.
Because DC wouldn't even think, you know, give a second thought per se to having any, you know, one of the,
say, Lex Luthor, for instance.
Say Lex Luthor, exactly. Him be president. You know, and here's the interesting thing is that, and I guess given that Prez is kind of an external universe now in Vertigo, you know, I mean, Prez is, I mean, obviously the future now, but, you know, you're looking at it like there could be multiple presidents going on in the DC universe because of those kind of things.
Now, Chris, why don't you unmute if you're done checking Bernie Sanders' voice and join back in, because we've been too long since we've heard from you.
Oh, no. I was doing my own show.
Oh, were you? Yeah. Was it any good?
Wasn't being recorded, so.
Excellent.
What are your thoughts on some of these things?
Well, I was just sort of thinking how interesting the comics after Captain America became president would actually be, because it wasn't that long after that Captain America did the whole Ride Across America story arc, and they were really celebrating America with that. It would have been interesting to actually put that into a context that was less freeform. But yeah, I think it would have made for some really freaking strange issues. Which means I would have probably loved it.
I'm sure you would have. But I think, you know, and it's one of the interesting things that I think the Captain America 250 brings up is the idea that, you know, Cap says that he's not an issues guy. Like, he doesn't know all the issues. He doesn't know the answers to all the issues. He's a man of action, you know.
Really, and could run for president today.
Yeah, that's right. But
kind of, you know, wish he would.
I think a lot of people wish he would. Again, it's exactly the same, you know, type of universe. So, I mean, that, like, from Marvel 1970s universe to now, I mean, if you put a guy like Captain America out there right now, people would love that third party president where it was just like, yeah, everybody could get behind Captain.
Yeah, you know what? That's one thing that definitely, like, of all the books, this is the one that most spent the most time talking political issues, or at least kind of, you know, nothing in depth, but kind of bringing up a whole bunch of different ones in passing. And it was like, even as they presented these quickly the way they did, it was like, wow, like, it's not like the more things change, the more they stay the same. A lot of this stuff is and the plausibility of this story, like you say, is even more relevant, the idea in this even higher media age of just a celebrity like a Captain America, if he did run, how plausible it is that he could easily win.
Because, yeah, you don't necessarily need to be completely up on the issues anymore. I mean, you need to.
You can at least get the party nomination.
Yes, yes. I mean, you can certainly flub your way through that, as we've proven recently. But you know,
go ahead, Chris. I was actually shocked how modern this book actually felt.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of the issues have changed, which actually sort of led me down a road of cynicism.
I get that. Like, I get.
Oh my God, nothing has changed since the 70s. But this felt like a very modern book. I mean,
was this the 70s or the 80s?
It's, well, actually, let's just have a quick look here. I believe
it was the 80s.
I think it's, let's see. I think it might be 1980 that it came out.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it was, but I mean, no doubt the idea was pitched in the 70s.
Yes, the original idea, yeah, for sure. The
original idea. So yeah, I mean, it's certainly early 80s.
And this is a legendary story arc. I actually had never read this before, and I thought it was a larger story arc, but it's only the single issue, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting because it is just a simple, you know, one-off, you know, almost throwaway storyline to that degree, but
it's not, because they wanted to do something special for the issue 250.
And
they said in the same thing, Roger Stern says in the back, they were gonna do the retelling again of the origin, but it was Cap's 40-year anniversary was 5 issues later, so they decided to do that there. So now they had to come up with something big, and this was the idea.
And that cover is iconic.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and again, I'm sure, Chris, that's one of the reasons why you thought that it was a, you know, longer story arc, because everybody knows that Captain America, the People's Choice button cover.
I wish I had that button so bad. Oh,
totally. So apparently October 10th, 1980. So I mean, yeah, it's really close to, it was published really close to when we, you know, to when we're recording it, really.
When I'm sure the American election in 1980, because it's always the first Tuesday.
Yeah.
Is it the second Tuesday, I think, or first Tuesday of every month of every November, anyways.
Yeah, so it would probably be very close to that.
Yeah.
You know, Mo, you are now my American politics guru.
I do believe it was the second. I believe it was
you
the second.
You have imparted wisdom upon me. I appreciate that.
And do you know why it's on a Tuesday, Chris?
Because it was snowing on Monday the first time around? I have no
pretty,
idea.
Pretty close. I think it was 1845 when the first election was happened, I believe. And yes, I mean, it was a lot of farmers and those type of people who literally needed a travel day. They couldn't leave on Sunday because that was church day. So they wouldn't go on Sunday. They had to stay in and go to church. And then they needed to travel to an urban center where they could vote on. And they needed a travel day on Monday. So that Tuesday became the day that they did the vote.
Did you?
A little aside.
Did you get all that from Bernie Sanders? Because, yeah. I mean, he lived through it, right? So.
Yeah, no, he was there. He was there. He was, he wasn't allowed to vote yet, but,
no.
You know, Yeah, he was at the church.
He saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
New podcast pitch for We Talk Podcasts. Canadians teach Americans about history.
I'd love to teach them about the War of 1812.
That was a great war, man. Well, 1812.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's really hard to bring up in conversation.
But you know what? There is a great comic book from Renegade Arts Entertainment about it. In fact, two of them.
Bernie Sanders was just a young buck back then. But
1812. He was kicking around in his mother's womb. And yes, all right. So anyways, this book, like I say, I mean, it brought up a lot of stuff, and you say it is really still very relevant, and both in the issues that are floating around in the book, but also in the in the actual concept of how this would work. But I also think that the flaws of like politics in books, and especially superhero books, is kind of also really obvious to me, because you say this comes out in 1980, so October 1980. So if 8-year-old me is a huge Captain America fan and reads it every month, and I get this book for issue 250, I absolutely hate it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the flaw, and especially back then, but I still think that is relevant today. Like, it's just a lot of people, like, it's interesting, and it's kind of interesting to us, and now we're older, but when I was a kid, or even if I just don't care much about politics, like, there's very little action. There's, like, you know, Captain America saves, like, a political convention that's being attacked for some reason. I don't know. They have a lot of cash on hand, apparently, in their till at these political conventions. I don't know what's going on there. And because it's never explained too much.
We don't need to know that much, No,
no, no. But yeah, I mean, so there's like a page of action, maybe, and then a lot of, you know, talk. And so, yeah, I mean, for me now, it was interesting. But yeah, like 8-year-old me or 14-year-old me, you know, I probably hate this book.
And, you know, the funny thing is that, 8-year-old you probably buys it because the cover's awesome.
That's true. That's very true. Very, very true.
Because
it would have been an awesome book if he smashed his political opponents with his shield at the end.
That would have changed
the meaning, but that would have been awesome.
And, you know, one thing else I'll bring up about this book is the fact that it also, you know, kind of had the guest appearances by the Avengers and stuff like that, which was,
yeah, very much where it like brings you into the universe.
So very much Marvel of that time, where you had to kind of, oh, Cap, are you sure you should be doing this? Yeah, go Cap, go. You know, it's like the earliest version of Marvel's Civil War in 5 panels.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely something to be said for that. It really is. Because, I mean, some people, a few of the heroes don't support him and do think it's ridiculous.
But yeah.
Like I say, it kind of gets to that first topic, or that mini topic within this topic, the concept here of talking about politics. And that is how it is different, how different it is. And it always has been, apparently. You know, you can see it, like, right, always, between the Marvel and the DC universe. Because the Marvel universes want to be ground in some set of reality and then give you the idea that this is like what the world would be if heroes were here, whereas DC just created a fake world. So it doesn't matter if Lex Luger is president.
Or even Lex Luger.
What'd I say?
Lex Luger.
Oh, he'd be an excellent president. He's at least as smart. That might be twice I did that.
Actually, this brings up something I actually wanted to talk to you guys a little bit. In DC, most times when they show the President of the United States, they try to show a real guy. I mean, Ronald Reagan has appearances. Most of the presidents do. Occasionally, they'll do the man of mystery thing with the blacked out face or whatever when they show the president. But Marvel almost always does not give a presidential cameo.
Are you sure? I thought it was the opposite.
Marvel did give Obama a standalone issue when he Spider-Man issue, but I couldn't think of actual Marvel appearance of a president.
I thought the Reagan showed up in the Hulk for some reason, but
maybe well, I was no, wrong. And that's possible. Here's what I think, Chris, is that I think that Marvel, as a general rule, you know, accepts that the current president is kind of the current president, but they try to avoid the president actually appearing in any issues. But, you know, they're more than willing to take those other positions underneath, you know, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, that kind of thing, and throw those around. But I don't think they're willing to touch the presidency very much. DC, on the other hand, I mean, it could change from book to book. Because I do think you're right. I do think that the president, because I even feel like, was it Legends that Reagan was the president or something?
Oh, maybe that's where it is. Yeah, maybe you're right.
But, you know, the thing is that one day it's Reagan, the next day it's the blacked out face man, and the, you know, and then 2 years later it's Lex Luthor. You know, so I think
that's one of my big pet peeves in comic books in general is, when they write in the president, there's no good answer.
No, that's right.
And I mean, one of my favorite runs of all time is the Suicide Squad, Ostrander's Suicide Squad run. And that one is plagued with odd presidential cameos.
Well, DC's also the universe which has Uncle Sam, you know? So, like, it's... You know, like, everything's just a little bit more out there, I feel like, as a general rule.
And there's so many more time eras in DC. You know, Marvel has them, but DC has them all at the same time. When you talk about, you know, the Young All-Stars and the Justice Society and stuff like that, and, I mean, they have a different president. Then you talk about, like, Earth 2 could have a different president. I mean, it's like, wow, there's so many.
And that brings up the storyline that, and here's one I didn't even think about until you mentioned it there, but they did do that storyline when Roy Thomas did this with, you know, Justice League or Justice Society back in the 40s being forced to unmask and the idea of them going in front of Congress and you know, and really, you know, playing off the idea of, you know, the communists in our midst and all that stuff, you know, that was... like, that was a huge storyline when I was actually probably, you know what, I probably was 8 years old and it involved politics. But the way it was done, I bought more into the drama of whether or not the characters would have to sacrifice, you know, what they'd be sacrificing, than I was thinking about the politics of it. But underneath it, he was making a political statement, I'm sure. You know, that went over my head at the time. I'd like to reread it. I actually have it in digital form and one of my... many Justice League buying you know, they always have put Justice League on sale and I'll go and buy some digital books and they just have to figure out where the hell it is.
But you know, that's the thing though, right? Is that comics are such a great medium for political stories, and it doesn't have to be superheroes, but you know, that's the best part. It can be superheroes, and it can be, maybe it can even be masked a little bit better using superheroes. But in this case, you know, I think that as you go through and read some of these comic books, I mean, these are more thinly veiled. Like, Captain America is way more thinly veiled than the Justice League, Justice Society. But
yeah.
But I mean, you know, they're well done, and you don't notice as a kid in that case. And it's the same thing as, say, the Green Arrow, Green Lantern. You know, I mean, they're very politically charged, but... you don't notice that as a kid because they're really good stories throughout.
And it doesn't come across like a political statement as a kid. Like, it's like, yes, one is liberal, but it's not like he walks around going, boy, I'm liberal all the time. I mean, they did in the New 52 relaunch of him, you know, Black Canary's like, oh boy, he's so liberal. Boy, have you seen how liberal this guy is? Like, yes, we know you've decided to make him liberal again. Thank you. But I digress. No, but I mean, it's not like,
It's just that his viewpoints were liberal and that Green Lantern, Hal Jordan's viewpoints were conservative. But it wasn't like, I'm conservative, you're liberal. I mean, that was more obvious, obviously, with Hawk and Dove. You know, that, I mean, again, that was a real attempt to use political concepts behind an actual book and you know, allow some discussion within the pages. And I think that was – but the thing is, it never took off popularity-wise.
No, and it was meant to be extraordinarily polarizing because, I mean, that's just the way the characters are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you guys like when it is right out front like this? Or do you prefer, like I do, when it's more thinly veiled? Like, say, Greg Rucka's Lazarus.
I always prefer thinly veiled.
Yeah.
No,
I really love that series, and it's not until like I've read the issue or several issues, and then a week later I go, "Holy shit, that's what he was talking about."
Mm-hmm. But again, this is not a political book as much as a book that's making a political statement. You know, it's not a political setting in the same way as that it's a statement.
No, and I mean, yeah. In the case of Lazarus, he's done something really smart because he's building his own world out, but by doing that, it allows him to make statements about the current political, you know, climate and that kind of thing and whatever kind of statements he makes. But it doesn't matter because it's his world. It's not the real world.
That's right. And also, Greg Rucka did something smart. Also, water is wet. The sky is blue.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and it's just like Checkmate. I mean, when you like we brought that up a little bit at the beginning, Greg Rucka's Checkmate run is perfect DC politics. You know, it's this concept that, you know, the White Queen, the White King, the white and the black side both have to go up the political chain, and you know, it's the president, but it's the UN, you know, all the different countries are lobbying politically with Checkmate. I mean, everybody has their own individual politics. You know, it's the kind of thing that Marvel would completely, you know, I mean, Roger Stern would shit himself if he had to deal with that kind of politics. But like, you know, but Greg Rucka just threw himself into it. And I mean, there's a lot of different kind of things going on. But that's the kind of book that I can only see existing at DC.
Well, I mean, Marvel Comics to me feels like they treat, as a general rule, the presidency and these things with a sense of reverence. Like, okay, we don't want to mess with them by having them in a silly comic book storyline. We can maybe do something if we have the right idea. Civil War is an example, but as a general rule, DC is just like, yeah, do whatever you want. You know, like it's just more open in that way.
Well, and again, I mean, you look at the DC universe, it's Gotham, it's Metropolis, it's,
yeah,
you know, Central City, it's, you know, it's all these different places that aren't real. I mean, DC's created everything. So I mean, it's a lot easier to kind of go off the reservation as you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
I'd just like to point out that we have couched the universe with superheroes as real in this conversation.
Yes.
And the dystopian future is not real. Just, yeah.
Well, the dystopian future could be a lot closer than you want.
But it comes back to, though, I mean, like 99% of the time when I'm reading a book like this, like we talk about, like, I mean, Lex Luthor becomes president, but Lex Luthor doesn't spend any time when he's president in the books worrying about the economy and trying to fix it. Like, it's not, you know, I mean, yeah, he's president, but it's used for, it's a MacGuffin, you know, it's like, it's a plot point that doesn't really impact the storyline other than any more than he's the president. So he has a certain level of, even more so, level of power or ability to do things, but it's not like it's political in any way, shape, or form. It's just something used to allow him to be evil.
Yeah, because, you know? if you thought that issue 250 would be boring to you know, 8-year-old you, imagine Captain America as the president for four years of, even if they took 4 years of real life continuity and just made him president for 4 years, here's the 6-issue story arc of Captain America arguing with the Senate over trying to ratify a bill.
Yeah. Exactly.
Excitement.
Yeah. Captain
America. They'll remember that awesome cartoon about how a bill is made.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the greatest thing ever.
That's how a bill becomes a law.
Yes, that. That's the greatest thing ever. Yes. So if it was anything like that, then I would like it.
Well, sure. But you know.
It isn't.
It won't.
Yeah. No. But that's it. Yeah, I mean, that's not just like Lex Luthor and, you know, him. But even like these books we talk about, you know, like Citizen Jack, I mean, it's not really about the politics, you know, at least not in the first issue that we read. Like, don't get me wrong, it's got a little bit of social satire, but it's more just kind of odd and generally about as subtle as, you know, a bowling ball to your nuts.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. did Trump get likeness rights for that book? Or...
That's fair. That is fair. I'll tell you that right now.
You guys go on. I need a minute to catch my breath.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting when you think of something like Citizen Jack, because it basically is just a story that happens to involve him wanting to be, you know, president. I mean, the presidency is not a huge part of it. It's just a plot point.
In some ways, I think the book, and I mean, this is artistically valid. It's going to sound like a criticism, but I think in a lot of ways, it is just a way to express cynicism in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really enjoyed this book, and then I sort of went, okay, what are they actually saying about the system? And the answer is nothing.
Not really.
No. No. I would be interested in finishing this, though. It was a well put together book, but I've a feeling...
I didn't enjoy it so much myself, but...
I have a feeling, yeah, if I finished the story and thought about it, I'd find some of the ideas put forth really depressing.
Well, absolutely, because look at it. Like, when you think about the idea that Jack, you know, even when he just goes out there and he's the crazy guy from Minnesota or wherever he was from, and you know, and he falls off and stuff like that, and he's like this, you know, YouTube sensation for 10 minutes kind of thing. You look at people, and people even, you know, it's just, there is kind of that concept of support right off the bat, because he's the schmuck. And so I think that's that backhanded compliment to the U.S. where it's just like, okay, you know, look, haha, it's the funny guy, we're gonna, like, he's gonna get 1% of the vote. Yeah,
you know what, if he was maybe it would be making more of a statement if it wasn't the idea that there's this demon who's manipulating people to get him up. Not that I ever explained who this demon is or why he's got a relationship or anything like that, but no, and I don't even know there's a demon. I don't know what the hell it is.
And I'm sure it explains it later on.
I'm sure it does, but it's just kind of. But maybe it would be certainly making more of a statement if this guy was able to get popularity without that, you know. But that's where it becomes a story that's not about politics or making a statement, but a story that just the politics is just the backdrop and, you know, plot point that's not important. But I don't know if anything, though. I mean, if you look at, like, we talk about the different eras, though, of books. So Prez was made in what, the mid 70s, early 70s?
Let's have
the original volume. I believe that might have been 73 as well.
1973. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I mean, you look at that book, and then you look at the current one that's out there, you know, that's 43 years later, 42 years later, whatever it was, I guess 42 years later.
Yeah.
And is there anything to say that this is the difference between how politics are done now? Because both of these books are odd, and there's features some political satire, and but are just very strange and totally free to do their own thing. is there anything to, or do we need to look more at like how you would do a book like Green Arrow, Green Lantern today compared to Green Arrow, Green Lantern in 1970?
Well, it's difficult because, you know, the 1973 prez is absolutely a political statement. You know, they are going out there. There's a lot of different stuff like that. Whereas I think in the case of the 2015 prez, it's not necessarily specifically making a political statement. It's making a statement on society.
Yeah, more social satire than political satire.
Yeah, because I don't think that politics really works into it that much, but I do think that social satire does.
But I didn't really think there was a lot personally, Brett, of a political statement being made in that first one either. There's a couple things, but I didn't think there was, you know, the fact that his vice president was a woman at the time, I suppose, but I mean...
But I just...
Again, it's so strange.
Yeah, it is very strange.
It's more political statements, again, than... I mean, certainly politics aren't a part of that book either.
No, I was just going to say, I think you guys are way over analyzing these two books.
I'm sure.
Spiritually, they are connected. I was surprised to actually learn that. But I think they're just a political fantasy rather than a commentary on anything, really. These books are sort of like, what if we did things absolutely right and I mean, they are definitely liberal fantasies as well. I don't really think these books have a lot to do with what we were talking about before.
No, and I agree with that. Like they're, you know, the politics is a backdrop again, but it's not necessarily the be all and end all of it. And I agree, Chris. Like I do think that you know, and I didn't notice this because I've read some of the 2015 prez before, and you know,
and I have to say, actually, wow, I actually really love this book. I'm going to finish off the series now.
That I couldn't even make it through the first issue. Really, like there's no story, there's no narrative for me to follow. It's just a bunch of shit being thrown at the wall. I felt at the same time, so I had trouble enjoying the social satire as much as I could have. Because of how it's done.
I mean, I think ultimately for me, it was at the time when I read it, it was almost like too much of that, you know, Twitter talk, yeah. Way of writing. And I think given the time away, like maybe if, you know, a few years from now, reading it all together, it might be a very different read. So, I mean, you know, I would be interested in that.
I didn't feel like I was the target audience. That's for certain, which no. I'm not. And
you're not.
But it is. It's like if you talked about the MTV generation, the quick cut videos leading to movie titles by people like, you know, like Michael Bay being all these quick cut movies that are more flash than substance. Then to me, this was like from a book form. This was the same style of thing. Like, you know, but we are digressing from the real topic here, let's get back to that. But,
yeah, yes, we are, Grandpa Mo.
Yes. Well, and I'll admit it. I am the oldest, youngest guy in the podcast.
Oh, definitely. And
chronologically, you know, yes, but...
With
mindset.
With those I'm so proud of you. With those up-to-date references, like Michael Bay, these kids in their Michael Bay movies.
Hey, he's still a huge director.
Yeah,
and he has influenced other directors with that style.
These kids and their Sam Peckinpah movies.
Bugging the hell out of me, these Sam Peckinpahs.
And damn TV and their music video. Yeah.
Oh man! Next thing you know, they're gonna want to color their TV. Those bastards.
Sons of bitches.
So. All right.
Well,
so
that's actually that would probably. I'm surprised that didn't occur in like the Green Lantern, Green Arrow back in that day. But those pictures. I picture him being that kind of curmudgeon.
Yeah. Picture. Yes. You met him, Brett. You interviewed him.
That's true. That's true. He, you know, and he's his own special kind of curmudgeon.
Yes, that he is. That he is. Yeah, no, that like having characters that have different point of views and that show that kind of create discussion within the books. That's one thing, but it still leads back to most of the time they're more making a political statement than they are anything else, right? Like I mean, a book like Watchmen is obviously very political, and it's making a political statement more than it's not so much about politics. It's just making a political statement. To me, that book is an example of a book that's political without being about politics.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and you can argue the same thing to a degree about V for Vendetta. You know, it's about a
Probably even statement. More so.
Yeah.
You know, now that I think about it, it's probably even more so. Yeah, both of those, though, I mean, have that feel.
You know, I mean, because again, it's, you know, political statements are important to be made, and I think they're really important for comic books, because it's a great way for comic books to help, you know, continue to be relevant at the time, is to make those political statements. I mean, just like in cases of racism and the like, I mean, it's really easy to make those political statements in comic books, and I think you can get away with a lot more.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you guys find a lot of the time when there's political statements being made, especially in superhero comics, that you've sometimes missed the point? I actually quite often find I follow the narrative too much. The Dark Knight Returns, for example, which, I mean, has huge conservative overtones. I didn't get how political it was until somebody pointed out to me. I was just following a Batman story, and it wasn't until later, and Frank Miller went off the deep end, that I actually went, okay, you know, I should have thought about this a whole lot more before handing this book out, because it encourages things I don't actually believe in.
Well, it's tough with some people, because like a guy like Frank Miller truly does wear those kind of things on his sleeve. You know exactly what kind of a person he is, and it absolutely shines through in his writing. You know, just look at Holy Terror.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, right? Is first off is the quality of the work, and the quality of the work of Batman, you know, Dark Knight Returns is brilliant, right?
Yeah.
So it's easy to just, I don't have a problem handing it out. So it's not about the political statements. It's about the quality of the work that people can decide themselves on the political statement. Holy Terror, which is
still a Batman story.
It's a brilliant Batman story. It's a wonderful book. You know, so I mean, that's it. Like, so that's the most important thing, is you can do that. If you're going to have a wonderful book, then I may disagree with you, but I'll read it, and it may influence me or may not. But the point of view is, I'll read it. But the end of the day, I'm still reading it for the story. When you get something like Holy Terror, you're even more obvious, and the story's ultimately utter shite. Yeah. So that's the difference, right? Like you can swallow anything if it's well done art.
I know we're off on a tangent, but how do you guys feel about Give Me Liberty? Also by Frank Miller.
It's been forever since I've read that, and same with Martha Washington, which also, much more so than I ever thought about, was making political statements back then. You know?
I bought the Omnibus about a year ago and read it shortly after.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, for me, like, it's a great story. Martha Washington is a great character.
Yeah, and, she is.
And I think that, you know, it's almost odd, because she's not the kind of character that you would associate with Frank Miller, I guess, in that degree. But, you know, but the ideals espoused in, you know, as far as government and the like, you know, are so very Frank Miller.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, I mean, when you read through it and you get there, like, he loses steam near the end a little bit, I think, but there's a lot of really, really excellent storytelling in there. Well, and
was it three miniseries? It was Give Me Liberty, and then Martha Washington Goes to War? Was that the second one?
Yeah, Martha Washington Goes to War, and then it's She's in outer space.
Yeah.
At one point, and then there is a wrap up. So there could be four. I don't have it right beside me. So hold on.
Just I believe there's some one shots and stuff as well.
So. One shots, or maybe something like a Dark Horse Comics Presents, that type of thing. Yeah.
Let me see here. All right.
See, if you guys had let me breathe into the mic for a couple more seconds, we would have had this right on hand.
Give me Liberty. Happy birthday, Martha Washington. Martha Washington goes to war. Martha Washington stranded in space. Martha Washington saves the world. And Martha Washington dies.
Okay.
So I actually think I might actually go back and read all this just on the basis of... Because I just remember it as a story. I don't remember any of the political stuff, but... Knowing Frank Miller, I know it's there.
Well, and even Hard Boiled, now that I'm thinking about it, is making... There's a real political bent to it, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, this is a wonderful example of where you're not reading it for the politics, but the politics can be part of it. And like I say, it may not even be your opinions, but that's the effectiveness of good storytelling back when he was telling good stories.
Yeah, because, I mean, the settings are very similar. Like, I think that you can set, you know, Martha Washington in the 21st century in basically Gotham City from The Dark Knight Returns, and it would be a very similar setting overall for these characters to exist in.
You know, or in a couple days when President Trump is elected, just change all the President relaxes to Trump. We're there. Sorry, yeah. I'm showing my political beliefs. Yeah.
I don't even know what you said, but that's okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
I believe Trump is the equivalent of President relax. Relax in Martha Washington is what I'm saying.
You know, a book like, you know, I was always a big fan of Gru, and I talk about, you know, 8-year-old or 13-year-old, 14-year-old me would have disliked that Captain America, you know, but there was an issue of Gru where it's two men who are running for election in their city, and they're both offering, you know, things that they can't deliver, and they keep on upping the ante, and Gru keeps on getting in the middle trying to give them what they're promising to the people. And to me, that actually taught me a lot about politics. And again, it was one of those things where I'm 13. I don't even think I'm reading a political book, but there's politics in it, and there is a political statement. And it's because it's funny and it's well done, and I love the character and the art, and you know, Marco Vanier and Sergio Aragonés, and it's like it's a great example of how you can sneak those things in.
Well, and really, I mean, Gru for President, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah, like it's that is, you know, talk them in, people don't even
realize it. Did they make buttons?
Again, I would be all over that right there.
That would be the ball.
There really isn't enough Gru merchandise, is there?
Not anymore. There once was quite a bit, but yeah, not now. Not now. Well, I need a Gru T-shirt, just blue, you know, with him from like the first issue, just you know. Anyways, we're getting off.
No cheese dip?
Oh, no cheese dip. Uh-oh. If he's saying that. Oh, like the back of the shirt is saying that.
That reminds me that is still the number one statue that I want, though, is that Gru statue where he's stuck in the cheese dip.
Oh, awesome.
And that is way off topic, yes, absolutely.
That is way off topic, but yes, that was a great statue. A great statue. Yeah. Like the Statue of Liberty. See how I brought that back?
That is like amazing, man, how you did that.
Talent. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is there anything else to say? Anything else you guys want to talk about? Do you want to talk a little more about the difference between how you present them nowadays? Anything else that coming into this topic you guys thought about that you have on your mind?
I actually think we handled it, or like we covered a lot of the interesting stuff that, especially from those four books, you know, like because they all they all bring, you know, something a little bit different to the table, whether it's updated or, you know, back in the 70s, whether it's, you know, the political spectrum as a backdrop simply, or whether it's just, you know, the whole concept that brings it together of, you know, a superhero really doesn't work in a political arena.
Not long term. You can get away with it subtly, but not long term. Or you can use it, like I say, a Civil War to push a storyline, but at the end of the day, the politics isn't going to be what it's about.
Wait, you're saying Trudeau isn't a superhero?
No.
Kind of, with his good looks, I just figured he fought crime at night.
Yeah, no, he...
okay, that one fell flat.
Didn't he show up? Ever. Didn't he show up in a comic book?
Yeah, he has an appearance in Chips Zdarsky. How do you say
the guy? Chip Zdarsky, yes.
Yes. Which I mean, makes sense, because Chip is Canadian, and...
But he shows up in Chip Zdarsky, is what you said. Like, he never said what
in book. In a book Chip is doing. I actually forget which one. I believe it was Howard. It could have been Howard the Duck, but it could have been something else. Howard the Duck,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and Chip did say he was regretful that he couldn't reference Trudeau's father's appearance in Alpha Flight. And we have just mentioned every Canadian politician ever to show up in a comic book, I believe.
So, well, we haven't mentioned John Chrétien, but he did remind people a little bit of the Incredible Hulk.
But Chrétien never officially appeared, did he?
Well, you know, say he's kind of the Incredible Hulk. No, I don't think he ever did. No, I don't think so.
that's the research we really should have done.
All I know is, if you want the opposite ends of a scale on good looks on a politician, we went from Chrétien.
Yeah, I was thinking Hulk. I was thinking maybe the gremlin in the Hulk, but
yeah, absolutely. Same head shape, all right,
on that.
Well, with that, we are OUT. We're going to be dark next week, though we do have some stuff that's in the archives that we might be able to couple together a show with. We're not sure if we will or won't, but we'll likely be dark next week. But if we do have something we can put up for you, we will. And we hope it's just 1 week. It might be a little bit more, but either way, we'll be back soon.
Well, don't forget some
comics.
Don't forget,
we have Vic coming up.
Vic Malhotra coming up, so we got some great comics to talk about there. I'm really excited, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna talk with Vic about his favorite comics and the ones that influenced him. You know, our great artist Vic Malhotra, and that will be what's the date on that, Brent? It's the 20th.
We're gonna be recording that on the 22nd, so it'll get out sometime after that.
So yeah, so hopefully we'll have something before then. If not, we'll definitely have a great show there. Good luck to everybody. Shout outs to Keith. Missed you tonight. And I think we are officially OUT.
Oh, you know, before we go OUT, you know, next episode, if the episode's the 22nd, then we'll truly know the results of the U.S. presidential election. And we'll
only if everybody running in the race accepts it. If they don't, we will have no clue.
That's true. We might not.
If it's held up in court. How can you make a political statement or do a comic book or be political in comic books when real life has become a reality show parody?
It's so true. Prez, you know, the 2015 Prez doesn't look nearly as weird as now as it did in 2015.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And with that, we are
OUT.
Thank you.